Welcome to the Food Matters Live podcast, where we showcase the innovations, the big ideas and the visionaries in the food industry. We dig deep, we look to the future and the past, and we question everything we think we know about food. I'm Anthony Zara, and this episode has been made in partnership with Milbio. Now, today we're going to focus on sourdough. It's a trend, if that's the right word, which hopefully, like your sourdough starter, is very much still alive and kicking. But there is so much more to it than when we all got excited about making our own bread during the COVID pandemic. The history of sourdough is fascinating. And by looking to its past, we might find some clues about what's in store in the future. New developments are being made as we speak, and it all points to a rather rosy outlook for the sourdough market. With me to look at where we've been and where we're heading are two fantastic guests. Alessandro Boggiani is the CEO of Milbio. Welcome to the podcast, Alessandro.
Thank you very much.
And we have Fabrizio, who is a baker. Fabrizio, perhaps you could tell us a bit more about what you do at Milbio.
Good morning, I am Fabrizio Nistri, and I am a baker, and I work in the research and development team of Milbio company. I have a lot of years of experience around bread and other type of baking product, and I help the Milbio in to develop some new product. Regarding mixes or improver or the application of different type of ingredients that Milbio produce.
Okay, fabulous. So Alessandro, let's look at the past before we look to the future. And the sourdough trend seemed to really kick off a few years ago, but sourdough itself has existed for many, many years. So how has it historically been used in baking?
Well, actually, bread started with sourdough. I mean, in the very beginning, bread was made with the sourdough technique that was a long fermentation system. Then kind of disappeared with, modern systems like the Charlie Watt bread processing and other similar processing system that came to be, say, very important and needed by the industrial revolution, because time wasn't of excess, and it was needed to have a quicker processing time and condition, and so sourdough became less and less important, till when people started to understand that actually there was something good in the old processing, and so they came back again. In the beginning, maybe more to increase the flavor, to improve the flavor, to make a better flavor. Then later, also for other reason, understanding that with sourdough you could sourdough processing type or added sourdough to the dough, you could get several other results and properties to the bread.
Sure, and what do you think's behind that then? So when it became popular again, what do you think led to that increased demand?
Well, actually, at a certain point, there was a need to improve the quality. There was a need also to decrease salt, and by to decrease salt, and that would probably somehow create a problem, an issue, because the bread was less tasty. People have been trying to look for alternatives, and so combining research for a better quality, understanding that the long fermentation can make a healthier bread, and the salt reduction made the change, if you like.
Okay, and you see sourdough everywhere now, especially in artisanal bakeries and places like that. Is there any sign that we've peaked, that we've reached peak sourdough?
I don't think so. I can see there is still a space for growth, and I've been seeing sours. Well, okay, then maybe in the UK market, yes, we have reached a certain level. There are other markets in the world where we are seeing still a growing trend. Now, why I'm saying it's, in my opinion, not the peak? Because sourdough is not one single product. It's more than one. Can be a variety of taste, a variety of old systems of bread making that can be used again. And so, well, no, there is still a long way to go, if you like, even if I have to say we have reached a very high level in particularly in the UK. And as you were saying, we are seeing sourdough everywhere. So it's, my opinion is not that there will be many other application in snacks or biscuits or so. It's more the variety of sourdough can still increase.
Fabrizio, let's bring you in here. What is it that makes sourdough such a popular choice, do you think?
Probably some years ago, the industry of bread and the bakery and the bakeries are develop a system to make bread fast. This probably don't permit to develop good bread, to develop taste, to develop color, to develop digestible bread. And for this reason, probably some new bakers, probably in France, probably in USA, have developed some product, some bread made with sourdough. This was very popular, probably because the people to have a really difference from the industrial or the past bread in terms of taste, in terms of color and the crust, and this probably permit to the popularity of sourdough bread, but not only, I think, because there is in my opinion also a fashion reason regarding the popularity of sourdough. You know that now in the world chefs, bakeries, pastries are like rock stars in the 80s, and this type of production now is fashion, and really the people that make bread are today a star, and you can find it in social like Instagram or Facebook or other, and you can recognize that they make bread using only sourdough, and really probably also this is the popularity of the sourdough use.
And are we seeing people's tastes change? So what's today's consumer looking for in sourdough that's different to say 10, 20 or even 30 years ago?
Yeah, probably is the same reason that I said before. The bread during the year was not the bakery, the industry around bread had a choice that was not around the taste, around the good and good quality bread. For this reason, people today search taste, but search probably also story, history around bread. And the sourdough is like a magic situation to make bread. And I think that the people today search also a good taste. And for this reason, I think that the sourdough have this difference with the bread of 10 or 20 years ago.
Sure. And what are some of the latest developments in sourdough then? What are we seeing that's new and exciting?
For sure is the development of different type of sourdoughs. In USA, there is, you know, the San Francisco bread, because they think that the San Franciscensis bacteria, lactic bacteria, is responsible of the taste and particular taste of bread, with the acidity, the lactic taste. And this developed many types of sourdoughs. Every baker have his sourdoughs and made or developed with different type of bacteria and yeast and wild bacteria and yeast inside. And for sure, industrial bakeries want to looking for this. This type of development, because to give taste of a large number of bread is very good. This is the real, I think, challenge around sourdough, to reach to make high quantity of bread, but with a taste like an artisan process.
Yeah, and you can imagine that is difficult. So what sorts of products are Milbio working on then?
In Milbio we think Alessandro told me some months ago that we need to have a difference from the other producer of sourdough. We have a key. We are in Italy, and Italy around food is real an advantage respect to the other producer. We need to recognize the typical Italian product, and we insert in this typical Italian product some the sourdoughs. And we need to develop a product that you use a small quantity. A small quantity is in terms of percentage, 10% in the flour used. And you have a really big result regarding taste, color, crust, digestible question, etc. For this reason, we collect and we choose different five type of flour of Italy, of different part of Italy, but not only Italian from some Italian region, small region. We certificate this type of flour, and we develop the five different product. The different product are. The first one, I am from Tuscany, and that's it. was around Tuscany, and was the spelt farro, that is an ancient wheat. And the spelt that we used is the ancient durum wheat progenitor, and. Is not only from Tuscany, but is producer, the flour of this is produced in a small region of Tuscany, that is Mugello, and we develop this with the sourdoughs inside, natural yeast with bacteria and wild yeast, and wheat germ. The same work was made around Piedmont. That is the region where Milbo have the main headquarter, and we choose to use black rice flour, and the characteristic of black rice are the color that is like purple, but also nutritional fact, because the black rice contain a good quantity of resistant starch, and the resistant starch today is an ingredient or a raw material that is good for our intestine. We choose for the northern Italy also rye from Trentino Alto Adige, northern Italy, close to Austria or Germany. And we develop another sourdough, another sourdough concentrate, based on rye, and with a small adding of cumin seeds, because in a small area of Trentino, they are using to make bread with rye flour and cumin seeds. And then we go down in Italy and we choose another region, Apulia, where we choose to use durum wheat, because Apulia is a region where the durum wheat grow well. But we choose not only a normal durum wheat. We choose an ancient species of durum wheat named Senatore Cappelli. It's interesting, the history around this type of wheat, because there was an agronomist named Strampelli that in last centuries, not last, 19th centuries, develop some seeds, because you know in Italy the main dish is pasta, and pasta is made with durum wheat. The challenge of Strampelli was to permit to feed durum wheat in all part of Italy. He selected some seeds and developed this Senatore Cappelli durum wheat. It's very ancient. The nutritional fact is very important, because the gluten contained by the flour, the wheat, is very digestible, and for this reason we choose to have a link with not only with the durum wheat, but also with the history of this type of durum wheat, because it's important to have an history and around the product that you are developing. The last sourdough concentrate is made with chickpeas flour from Sicily. In Sicily, the chickpeas are used for many preparation for food, and for this reason we use it in this sourdough. In this case, because the chickpea, if you put chickpea flour in bread, you don't have an excellent result in terms of taste. We add a little bit quantity of sage. Because in Sicily they use to prepare some product using chickpea flour and sage, and this was interesting, for example, in production of in application that we develop in Milbio regarding snacks like crackers, breadsticks, because the combination of chickpeas and sage was very, very interesting and very, very good, like around taste. These are these five product. In reality, when we started the project, there was 8 or 9. I don't remember. Of course, during the development, we choose the better, or we have some difficult to develop other for fermentation, for regarding the granulation of the seeds or of the flour, and we choose these five different sourdoughs. In my opinion, I am from Tuscany, and of course Farro is and Spelt are good, but the best product that we had have developed is the black rice. For the color, for the taste, is very, very interesting, like product as a product.
Yeah, and that was going to be a follow-on question. I mean, it's amazing that there's so much variety, you know, within the borders of Italy, really, and Sicily. But obviously, you can imagine that with the black rice, it's going to look different. The final product's going to look different. Do you find other differences in terms of texture and taste and the crust? Do you find big differences when you're using different types of flour?
Yeah, we have, of course. The first aspect that you can see is the color, because every product are different in the product and in the bread about color. Of course, when you use, for example, the black rice, you have that the crust is very crispy, the color, of course. The structure inside, you have a big bubble like the sourdough bread. And with the chickpeas, for example, if you're using bread, you have more soft product, more soft bread than using, for example, black rice. But the project was more complete, because we want to replace a really sourdough bread. Of course, inside of our product, there is natural yeast, sourdough, alive, but it's not sufficient to ferment and to produce gas inside of bread, and you need to add a little bit quantity of yeast. But in our experience, in our application, we have developed this fact. If you reduce the yeast that you use inside, and we suggest 0.5 in the flour, you have at the end of the baking process a structure very similar to using sourdough, fresh sourdough, okay? And not only, with this product put inside of the flour used to make bread, we can reduce the quantity of salt losing the taste of the salty taste. In fact, in our application, we suggest to use 1.4% of salt in the flour, and normally in bread is used 1.8-2% in the flour. This is an important thing, because regarding the reduction of salt and also for the real aspect in the end product, in bread, of using, like using fresh sourdough.
Great, yeah.
Sorry for this complicated explaining.
No, it's not. It's fine. And it's important, you know, for the clean label and for what's written on the label and for everything that's going on. And you mentioned earlier about, you know, one of the challenges of sourdough is making enough and how you scale it up. And I wonder if there are other big challenges that come with working with sourdough.
Yeah. When you use with sourdough, you have the challenge that you need to have knowledge, a lot of knowledge. And you need to have time, because the knowledge, because you are working with bacteria and yeast, and you need to have the knowledge to handle this and to permit the development of yeast and bacteria together, but not in a random way. You need to move to help yeast to make his work and bacteria to make his work. The knowledge is the first things regarding a challenge using sourdoughs. And the second is the time, because when you use sourdough, you have that, for example, in 1 gram of fresh yeast, the industrial yeast used, that is not poison, is only a selected yeast bacteria. But in 1 gram, there are 7 billion cells of yeast. In 1 gram of sourdough, there are 8 million of yeast and bacteria. You know that the difference is huge. And to permit, when you use sourdough to have to permit the to the yeast to produce gases and to the lactic bacteria to produce lactic acid or other, you need to have time. Time means that you prepare the dough and you wait for 2, 3, 4 hours or overnight. This is the challenge, because to industrialize this this type of process, you need to rethink regarding the process, the industrial process of bread. But it's not possible. The challenge is this: to rethink the machinery, the process, the raw material, to have an excellent bread also in industrial bakeries.
Okay. Alessandro, so clean label is something we talk about a lot on this podcast, and I just wonder how big an issue it is for consumers, in your opinion.
I think it's important. I mean, I think a consumer starts to understand that they want to have a clear label, reduced number of ingredients, not seeing things they don't know what they are. A clean label is something that, in my opinion, is still a growing trend. Of course, now there is this concept to still to be understood of the ultra-processed food that is somehow, you know, creating some confusion to the consumer, because it's very difficult to understand or to know which kind of food is actually UPS or not. And so I think making a clear and clean and short ingredient declaration will help in making people understand we're not talking on anything that is either dangerous or unhealthy. So I think, yeah, to answer your question, is still very important and still growing.
Yeah. And how does sourdough then compare to other breads? How does it fit into that clean label conversation?
Well, it does, because a sourdough is opposed to an artificial flavor or to, you know, any other possible ingredient to improve the taste or to change the dough condition. Is something that is perceived as natural, and it is natural, actually. It's a long fermentation process. So I think it stays within those lines.
Now, we've spoken a bit about provenance. In fact, we've spoken at length about the different places you're getting your flour from. And it's increasingly important to consumers as well, isn't it? So people really want to know the story behind their food and where it comes from. And I wonder how much you think about that when you're creating new products.
Yeah, in fact, this was the main aspect when we developed our concentrate. This was a good point, an important point that Alessandro suggested me during the development of this product, because we must guarantee the provenance of the raw material, because in the world, to have product 0 kilometer or made by my friends, or to have the name of the producer of the wheat in the pack is an important things about, of course, the provenance of the product. Our product, we guarantee the provenance of the black rice from Piedmont, spelt from Tuscany, not only Tuscany, but a small part of Tuscany. And this is, I think, a very good, very interesting thing about the market and about the growing market.
And Alessandro, why do you think consumers care so much about provenance now? Whereas previously, probably they didn't too much. They perhaps weren't that interested in where their food was coming from, as long as it provided for them nutritionally.
Well, because I think there is a care in understanding where products are coming from. There is care on sustainability. There is care on avoiding unneeded transport. But also there is an important, let's say, focus on understanding. Well, it's a concept of what we say from farm to fork. So try to understand where the what you're eating is coming from and what has been done to the ingredient and how it's been treated and how it comes to be part of your of the food you eat. So I think, yeah, it's a very important concept at the moment.
Great. Now, Milbio will be at Food Matters Live in Ascot in October, showcasing more products than we've had time to talk about today. Can you give our listeners a taste of what they'll experience if they come along?
Well, exactly. I mean, what we are trying to do is to show a variety of sourdough linked to different provenance, even if all coming from Italian territories. So people will be able to see and taste a range of breads made with specific sourdough that are linked to a territory, and they're linked to a territory for provenance and for the specific processing method that have been used in those territories for a long time, for always, forever, I would say. So that is the point, in my opinion, really, that people would be able to appreciate how using a sourdough that has a specific provenance will make them taste a product made in a bakery that is probably in their neighborhood, but bringing over those concepts from the territory where it was originating.
Fantastic. And what types of organizations do you work with then? Who should be particularly interested in coming along to the event and visiting you?
Bakeries, but of course. But of course, I would say food service, would say people that have anything to do with hospitality and are serving bread they're serving bread to their customers, whether it's a morning, a breakfast, or a lunch, or a midday snack, or even an evening, dinner. But I would say, generally speaking, anyone that has to do with the bakery or food service.
Great. Okay, on a personal level, Fabrizio, so not as a Milbio man, but as a baker, what is it you enjoy about sourdough and bakery as a whole, I suppose?
I'm born in a bakery because my father was a baker. And I have the smell of flour and yeast in my blood, probably, or something like this. But it's interesting to work with flour because it's like to have a pentagram. You have a billion of possibility to mix your raw material that are principally three: flour, water, yeast. And sometimes salt. In Italy, in Tuscany, we don't use salt to make bread. But with these three ingredients, you can develop thousand different product. This is interesting. This is the exciting part of my work. But not only. You know that bread was invented probably by the Egyptian people 4,000 years ago. And when you make bread, you have this history in your hand, because Egyptian make bread with the same three ingredients: water, flour, and yeast. And now I use the same hand of the Egyptian.
Lovely. Okay, finally, a question for both of you. What do you see as the big opportunities for growth in the sourdough market going forward?
Probably the biggest opportunity is to let customers see that there are products they have probably only tasted when traveling to some destination, and they're now could be available on their hometown. using an ingredient that is bringing over the flavor and the tradition from the original source. So I think that is what would be more interesting, in my opinion, combined with the fact that we are providing with the sourdough, in any case, a healthier product, a salt reduction, a better taste without using additives or flavors. And so, all in all, we are trying to recreate bread as it was made in the past and combine it with the traditions and local tastes coming from different parts of Italy. Italy has a long tradition in bread, and mainly in different kind of breads that have been made in very different ways and using very different grains, cereals, and production methods.
I think that the growth is very important and very fast, because people need to eat not a huge quantity of bread, but an excellent bread, because normally, bread is a basic product used when poor people don't have other type of food. Now we have a lot quantity of food. I told you before regarding chefs that are the rock stars of this century, but we don't need to. We don't eat a lot of huge quantity of bread, but we want to eat excellent bread without chemical ingredient inside, excellent bread made with sourdough, excellent bread that are good for your health, and sourdough could be included all this type, all this point, because bread at the end is not poison, is an healthy product. It's important to make bread well.
Lovely. Alessandro and Fabrizio from Milbio, thank you so much for coming on the podcast.
Thank you.
Thank you very much.
Thank you for listening to that episode of the Food Matters Live podcast. Now, before we wrap up, we have some exciting news to share. Food Matters Live is returning this autumn with events in Ascot, Manchester, and for the first time, Dublin. Join us as we inspire the future of food. Whether you're looking to solve innovation challenges, explore positive nutrition trends, or learn strategies for sourcing sustainable ingredients, these events are designed for you. Learn more and sign up at foodmatterslive.com. We look forward to seeing you there.